Welcome to Word Life Church. My name is Pastor Freddie Minifield. You know, I'm so excited that you joined us today. I don't believe it's a coincidence. One thing I know for sure is that the Word of God will make all the difference in your life. And the word you hear today is going to encourage you, it's going to challenge you, and it's going to impact your forever. So whatever you do, get all the distractions away, and you tune in and expect to hear from heaven. And after the message, don't go anywhere. I'd love the opportunity to pray with you on any needs that you may have in your house or your household. You know, there is no time, space, or distance in the spirit realm. You can be healed, delivered, saved right where you are. So stay tuned after the message. We'll see you then.
We are continuing our series entitled Taking Ground. Understand the intent of the title was on purpose, taking ground. We have to participate in the promise and the plans of God. The promises of God are sure, but they are not automatic. The things of God that we have to lay hold of, there is always a part that you and I have to play. We have to participate in the promises of God. And that's what taking ground is all about. We're going to look and see how we do that. You know, there are some things, most things are taught, but there are some things that are caught in the spirit realm. And the anointing makes way for a transference to take place in the spirit. And family, when the anointing is present, make sure you're catching what the Holy Spirit is doing. Don't, whatever you do, don't be distracted. Whatever you do, yield to the Holy Spirit right now. Make up in your mind that I am going to tap into my innermost being. Do you realize God doesn't speak to us in our minds or in our bodies? It is always spirit to spirit. And what we have to understand is we are spirit beings. We live in a physical body. Every one of us has an earth suit. And we possess a soul. And our soul is comprised of our mind, our will, our imagination, our emotions, and our intellect. So every decision that we make, we're up against odds that are 5-1. You understand? We have to overcome our will, our mind, our imagination, our intellect, our emotions. We have to overcome 5 different things in order to tap in to what the Spirit of God is saying to your spirit. He speaks to us spirit to spirit. Don't be distracted. That's why Hebrews 4:12 says it's the Word of God that divides the soul and the spirit. You know, you could be right in your head and be completely wrong with what God is saying to do. You understand that? We can feel like something is 100% correct, and we could be wrong. And the Spirit of God could be there all along saying, no, son, go left, go left. No, son, go right. No, not that one. No, the whole time. But because of how we feel, we could give in to one of the 5. We could give in to emotion, or we could just be strong-willed and do it our way anyway. In order to be led by the Spirit of God, we have to submit and yield to the voice of God, to the power of God, to what God is saying. And that's why whenever you know the atmosphere is charged with the anointing of God, tune in. Put your phones away, put your to-do list away, and listen with your innermost being. What is God gonna say to me today? You realize we are one word away from breakthrough. One encounter away of everything never being the same. You think about if you hadn't shown up when the word of God was preached, you would not be born again. If you did not present yourself on that day, you would still be on your way to hell. True or not true? I can say hell in church, can I? Is that right? I can say hell in church. Okay, okay. Family, I know that healing is here. I know that healing is here. There is an anointing for divine health to break through. Begin to expect. No greater plea I can make to you and those of you who are online, begin to expect. God doesn't do anything without us. It requires you and I to participate in his plan. If you desire to be whole, you have to say yes. If you desire to be delivered, you have to say yes. If you want to stop wandering around like the Israelites, it took 40 years for an 11-day journey because of self, emotions, will, imagination, intellect. It got in the way of God's perfect plan. You and I have loved ones who are strong-willed, who don't want to participate in the things of God because of something that was heard or said or something they seen demonstrated. And their will is protected by God. And if they choose, they can go to hell. If they choose, why? Because we are free will agents. Every one of us. If we want deliverance, we have to choose. God is not a bully. He is not going to make any one of us do anything. He's inviting us to step into all that he has for us, though. What are we going to do with that? Are we going to respond? You know, the biggest thing on my heart is to see free people going about freeing other people. It's the greatest thing that burns on the inside of me. And we founded Word Life Church on Matthew 28:19 and John 8:31 and 32 because of that reason, because it's never going to be about converts. It's always about discipleship. God didn't call us to rearrange the body of God. He calls us to mature and grow and go about doing what he's called us to do. And it takes all of us saying yes to him. It takes all of us saying, you know what? I'm just going to get out of the way. You know, I have a certain way of doing things. I have certain likes and dislikes, but you know what? I'm going to lay it all down and say, Lord, here I am. I am yours to command. Let's do that now. Raise your hand, close your eyes, and just say, if you mean it. Please don't do this if you don't mean it. Say, Lord, here I am. Submitted, yielded to your will, to your way. I am yours to command. What will you have me to do? I will do it. I choose now to obey you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the truth that comes from you and I studying the Word of God is the truth that allows us to walk in freedom. And that freedom that we begin to walk in becomes our witness. And every good witness needs proof. And what God is desiring to do in our lives is to have a witness in the earth so people can see and know how good God is. People need to see the goodness of God through you and I. And that happens every time we yield. Every time we get out of the way, people see the goodness of God. They see the love of God, the character of God. Every single time we choose to surrender, God is exalted. He shines through us. We have that opportunity every day we open our eyes. And he's calling us, family, to allow him to move in our lives. He desires for miracles, signs, and wonders to be normal. That is our life. The life of a believer should be filled with unbelievable things. We serve the God of the impossible. We should be catching ourselves all the time. I can't believe God. Oh, wait a minute. I can't believe that. I can't believe that. We should be catching ourselves all the time. He did it again. And guess what? He's going to do it again. Whoever is suffering with an element in your body, God is saying to you that today is the day that I will deliver you. Don't allow the things that were begin to hinder what I am doing right now. I've called you here to this service today to be set completely free. You can walk in total freedom and victory. You can walk in total health today. Forget those things that are behind. Yes, sir. You said, but I tried that. But I did that before. The Lord is saying, I am. I am available for healing right now. If you choose to receive, you'll be a testimony on this day. What will you choose? You know, and that's going to require pressing past the 5-to-1 ratio. It's gonna require pressing past the emotions, the will, the imagination, the intellect. It's gonna require doing it anyway. It's gonna require, okay, I hear what your spirit is saying to my spirit. My spirit is gonna respond to this. My spirit is gonna drag my body to respond. My spirit is gonna supersede my thoughts, negative thoughts. My spirit is gonna supersede my past. I'm gonna allow me, the real me, to supersede the attack of the enemy. You realize the battle is in the mind? If the enemy can keep our minds distracted, distorted, confused, he can stop us from receiving the promises of God. God is calling us to simply yield and allow him to manifest today. Today is your day of healing. Today is your day of victory. What are you going to do with it? You know, our subtitle for last week was Gaining Momentum. It takes momentum to move into the upward call. Our foundation text is Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. Let's go there. Where are you guys going? Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, and we'll read through 14. We're going to read that together. It's on the screen. Ready? Read. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. So important. Verse 14, ready, read. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Family, we need to make this our mandate, because I made the statement last week and it just rings true. You and I are never supposed to leave anything. You and I are called to go to something. And the principle, and I was talking to Terrellyn this morning, and I think that's what God was trying to establish when he told Lot's wife not to look back. I think that was the beginning of that principle. Because when you, I need two people up here real quick, please. Give me two people. If we don't understand that we're called to something and we're never supposed to leave something. If Tim is come over here. If Dr. Jean is here and Tim is gonna leave, if his mindset is leaving Dr. Jean and he's walking off looking back, tell us, where is his attention? Is he pressing forward? Not even almost. So whatever is before him is getting glimpses. He's getting glimpses of. He's not focusing on. He's not. His upper call, he's just seeing fragments of it. But what he is seeing is his attachment to his past. It doesn't matter how bad it was. It don't matter what he or she did to you. If it's in your past, leave it in your past. You go to where God is calling you. Don't get stuck in regret. Have you ever noticed it's the things that were hurtful, the bad, that we attach ourselves to? Very rarely do we go back to the past to celebrate and get encouraged for what's in front of us. But it becomes a shackle. It becomes something that I'm always mindful of. It becomes something that I'm always sorrowful for. Something that I'm always hurting because. And I'm dragging that hurt with me. And I'm dragging that hurt with me, and I'm always attached to it. And we're saying, God, your word don't work. God, I can't hear you. God, I can't feel you. God, and we're dragging what the enemy was allowed to do with us, trying to accomplish what God is calling us to do. Forget those things. Somebody say that. Forget those things that are behind you. Thank you, gentlemen. Press. Press toward the upward call. What God has for you is in front of you. It's not behind you. Family, whatever you do, get this principle in your spirit. Whenever you leave something, you're bound to it. Whenever you go to something, you're bound to it. How about you and I being bound to a future full of hope and promises, like it says in Jeremiah 29:11? How about you and I being bound to the promises of God? How about we expect his goodness, his love, his hope, his power, and forget, you know what? The enemy failed. He tried to take you out. He tried to wound you forever. Guess what? He failed. You are still God's. You are still moving forward. You are still going on to the upward call. Go with God. Leave the enemy, the past, the pressures. Leave it behind you forevermore. Last week, I said the promises of God are not automatic. They require our pursuit. We also said your focus should always be forward, never backwards. Forward momentum takes all the difference. It makes all the difference, and you'll never make progress looking behind you. I make the statement, the pains of your past should never outlast the fruit of your future. Man, that's so powerful. The fruit of your future is before you. Don't drag the pains of your past with you, and definitely don't magnify them. Definitely don't allow them to block out the promises of God. Last week, we defined momentum as a force, impetus, or a driving power. We looked at 1 John 4:4 and said that your yes to Jesus qualifies you for the greater. We talked about the principle of the momentum, the velocity and the mass generated causes momentum. And when you and I understand, when we say yes to Jesus, our mass was added to, and that mass takes care of anything in its path because of the momentum of the blood of Jesus. Important to wrap our head around the scripture. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Raise your hand if Jesus is in you. If Jesus is in you, raise your hand. If Jesus is on the inside of you, raise your hand. You know what that means? Everything outside of you is lesser. Sickness, disease, depression, anxiety, strife, bitterness, unforgiveness, all of that is lesser. Financial attacks, mental attacks, family attacks, friend attacks, all of that is lesser because the greater one on the inside of you resides with you forever. The greater one impacts the lesser. We talked about the principle of the greater impacting the lesser. We said that it all starts with one step in the right direction. We said when we trust God enough to act on his word, we'll begin to gain momentum. We use David as an example. David killed a bear. David killed a lion. And then David killed a Goliath on his way to the throne. In the midst of having to overcome his family. You realize his dad overlooked him? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right. I do got one more. He's out there with the sheep. His dad overlooked him. His brothers misunderstood him. What are you doing here? You're just trying to see his brothers. Absolutely. How many of you had somebody in your family misunderstands you? Every hand should be up in the house. And his king tried to kill him. And yet, it's recorded, he was the greatest king Israel ever had. He was the only one that it was said that he was a man after God's own heart. What is God calling you to? What do you have to overcome to get to your throne? Have you been misunderstood? Have you been overlooked? Somebody tried to kill you. Can it still be said about you? Joe is a man after my heart. Jerry is a man after my heart. Gene, Ron, can it still be said? Can it still be said Ed is a man after my heart? I don't think God is done handing out my heart rewards, badges of honor of men and women who just chose to keep moving forward. Our subtitle for today's message is Sustaining Momentum. Once we gain momentum, it's critical that we sustain that momentum. The word sustain means strengthen or support. It means to cause to continue or be prolonged for an extended period without interruption. It means to uphold, affirm, or confirm. My objective for this series is for you and I, no matter where we are, to go forward. No matter where we are in our walk with God, to go forward into the things of God. You know, when we do that, we'll begin to live a life that is backed by the kingdom of God. You realize when we said yes to Jesus, all of God, all of heaven backs us up. It's not about how you start, it's about how you continue. All of us have heard stories of different people, friends, loved ones who started off amazing. But that's not what we talk about now, is it? It's about how you continue. Look at somebody and say, continue. Continue. Look at somebody else and say, continue. Continue. It's about you and I continuing that makes us disciples of freedom. The chaotic world around us needs the God of peace on the inside of us. When condemnation comes, let's go to Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Where are you guys going? Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. We're going to read that on the screen again. Ready? Read. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Sounds like choice, doesn't it? Look at verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That means every time sin and death begins to interact with our lives is trespassing. Raise your hand if you are in Christ. If you're in Christ, the law of sin and death has nothing in you. It is in violation to the word of God, the only thing that you and I should be standing on, the truth of the word of God. God's ways assure our victory. The Israelites, they weren't planning on, they didn't set out on a 40-year journey. They didn't plan. Their intent was right, but something happened along the way. Don't let it be said of us that we wandered around and around and around. How about we make a decision right now, Lord, whatever you say do, I'm going to do. I'm going to follow your word, your light, your truth. Because I know you know the shortcut. You know how to get straight to your will. Amen? Doesn't he know how to get you and I to the center of his will? Let's let him. Let's choose. Let's go to 1 Kings 20, verses 1 through 6. And I'll be able to at least introduce part 2 of Taking Ground. You know, it's so important that we choose to make the Word of God our life. Just make it your life. You know, when that happens, victory is assured. When we make the decision to live our lives by the Word of God, there is no law that can come against us and be effective. You know why? Because God is love. And we live our life according to God's word. We are participating in the love life. And the word says there is no law that can come against that. How about a foolproof life? It's available. It's those 5 different areas that we have to overcome on a daily basis. Because we have strong minds, and wills, imaginations, and intellect. You know, another thing concerning imagination, you and I will never fulfill God's complete plan for our lives without our imagination. We must cause our imagination to be submitted to the plan of God. We have to see it. Anyone that has ever done anything great were men or women that had great imagery. We have to choose to see it. We have to choose to see beyond sight. We have to choose to step into the spirit realm and see the truth of the word of God and not be distracted by sight. You know, we don't even see with our eyes. Our eyes are simply windows. We see with our minds. Our minds take what comes through the window of our eyes and tells us what it is. Isn't it important to renew our minds? We could not see, and that's what Ephesians is all about. In fact, let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. I believe it is. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16 says, "Do not cease to give thanks for you," says Paul, "making mentions of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you," he was praying to the church of Ephesus, but because he was impressed by the Holy Spirit to pray this, you and I can grab hold of this prayer for our own lives. You and I can grab hold of this, and we should. "May give unto you the spirit of wisdom," would that help anybody? "And revelation in the knowledge of him," verse 18 says, "the eyes of your understanding being enlightened." The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. When the Spirit of God illuminates our eyes and they are opened up to what really is, we make different decisions. You know how people say hindsight is 20/20? You know, that sight is always available. The Holy Spirit is always trying to tell us truth. The Holy Spirit is always trying to illuminate next steps, right steps, what he wants for us to do. Verse 19 says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe?" Who is this written to? Believers. The us that believe can partake in these promises. That's who it's written to. "Which he worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above principality and powers and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come." It's 1 Kings 21 says, "Now Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his forces together. 32 kings were with him, with horses and chariots, and he went up and besieged Samaria and made war against it. Then he sent messengers into the city of Ahab, king of Israel, and said to him," this is Ben-Hadad, "your silver and your gold are mine, your loveliest wives and children are mine." And the king of Israel answered and said, "My lord, O king, just as you say, I and all that I have are yours. Now, basically, let me shorten it up for time's sake. King Ben-Hadad showed up and just punked King Ahab. He just came in, he sent a messenger and said, you know what? I'm gonna walk in and take everything you have. And he besieged him and his territory. Now, besieged is totally different. Besieged means they are already surrounded and moving in. They have already grabbed hold. They're moving in. That's why he was so confident in what he said. He had already captured the territories that were defended highly. He was already in position. So in his overconfidence, he said, I'm coming to take all you have. Basically, there's nothing you can do about it. Now, in this story, there was a prophet that heard from God, and the word of the Lord said something different. The word of the Lord said, King Ahab, everything that you see, I'm about to give to you. Now, in the natural, that was absolutely impossible. Absolutely impossible. King Ben-Hadad had 32 other kings with him. And King Ahab had to scramble and get some soldiers together, some people together, and he ended up with about 7,200 people to fight on his behalf. And 32 kings don't come to a war to fight by themselves, true or not true. So it should say 32 armies. So it was King Ahab against 32 armies, absolute impossible situation. And the word of the Lord came and flipped everything around. Everything changed when the word of the Lord went forward. Let's drop down to verse 13. The word of the Lord makes all the difference. Verse 13 says, suddenly, a prophet approached Ahab, king of Israel, saying, thus says the Lord, have you seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into your hand today, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So Ahab said, by whom? And he started getting instructions. Basically, he said, by the young prophets that you put together. And then he said, well, who's going to start this battle? And the Lord said, you are. And he's like, wait a minute. Not only am I going to take it, I'm going to start it? He's like, I'm going to initiate it? So he was being instructed to start the fight with the bully, because the promise of the word, the promise of the Lord was, I'm going to give it to you. Verse 16. So they went out at noon. Meanwhile, Ben-Hadad and his 32 kings helping him were getting drunk at the command post. Now, when we're in a crisis, we need to remember to stop and say, now this is as practical. How many of you have been in a crisis before? Raise your hand. How many of you had something you just, whoa, where'd this come from? If you've been in a crisis, raise your hand. Now, was King Ahab in a crisis? The reason why we're reading this scripture today is his example we can take from. In the middle of the crisis, which he had no way, he was about to surrender everything he had, the word of the Lord came and said something contrary to what was going on. So when you and I, here's the principle, when you and I are in a crisis, we need to say, wait a minute, what does the word of the Lord say about this? And then begin to participate with the word of the Lord, not the attack of the enemy. Because we will always have the opportunity to start rehearsing the attack, the problem, the crisis, the lack, the pain, the struggle. We will always have an opportunity. What I'm asking us to do going forward is, wait a minute, in the midst of it, what does the Lord say? What does the word say about what's happening right now? Nothing in the natural changed for King Ahab. It's shifted in his spirit because he believed the word of God. Everything changed when he believed the word of God. Verse 14, King Ahab said, "By whom will the battle be?" The answer was, with the young prophets. And then he said, "Who's going to start?" And he said, "You." God will give you and I the victory in battle, but we have to be willing and ready to give the order or start the fight. He's going to give us the battle, but we have to be willing to start. We have to be willing to do something about what we get. It goes on and talks about they attacked them again. So they figured, okay, I know what went wrong. King Ahab's God is a God of the hills. So this is how we're going to do this. We're going to go and attack them in the valley. Because the Syrians, they regrouped, they got beat, they regrouped, and they came back. They tried to figure out how to beat them. What they didn't understand was the word of the Lord came again. And the word of the Lord told King Ahab what was about to take place. And he said, they're gonna attack you in the valley, prepare for it. They prepared for it and they won. The reason why I want to bring that up is sometimes we can think God is just the God of our mountaintop experiences. And when we have lows, we could think, where is God? How could God let this happen? And we'll begin to accuse God of not being faithful in the valley. We're celebrating our victories and we're overseeing everything. And I'm here to tell you that you will never have to have a valley experience again for the rest of your life. That is not of God. Because the word of the Lord is, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So when our perspective shifts, when our understanding shifts, when things aren't going the way we would like them to go, we could say, Lord, we know you are with us. When you're going through a fire experience, you could say, you know what, I'm going through this, but because my God is with me, I'm going to get out of this, and I'm not even going to smell like smoke when it's over and done with. That changes our perspective of the outcome. God always has our back. Always. How many of you have been in a position to where you thought, what are you doing, God? Just me? Am I the only one that experienced that? What are you doing, God? We need to make up our mind, God always has my back. God's momentum will work in our favor whenever we just have to change our perspective. Let's go to Isaiah 26:3. Put your finger there and also go to 2 Corinthians 3:18. Our perspective is our looking glass or our outlook. You know, that is such a profound understanding. It doesn't matter what reality is. If your perspective is not right, you're not going to see reality. Our perspective is our looking glass. That is so important. We actually see we have an opportunity to see with a renewed mind or with a fallen mind. And we have to choose. Look at Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace when everything is going right." Is that what your Bible says? "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." You know what that means? If our mind is stayed on him, even through a battle, a fight, a crisis, perfect peace is still available. That's the word of the Lord. And we have an opportunity to believe the word, trust the word, or fall into the five physical senses and subject the outcome to whatever the enemy wills. Or, listen to this, you can subject every outcome to the will of the Lord. And that's where things like what the enemy meant for harm ends up being good. We have to understand the authority that we have. We must grab hold. Kai, God is desiring to take you to another level in the things of God. You're familiar with the natural, and he is wanting to invite you into his presence to such a degree so you're just as familiar with the supernatural. God has a plan for your life, and he's calling you to yield to him and trust him in your decision-making process. It's easy to do it your way, but what he's asking you to do is yield to him, submit to him, trust him enough to allow him to dictate your decision-making process. Begin to yield and relax, because his burden is easy. His yoke is light. Anytime you feel turmoil or pressure, that is not of God. Back up, relax, and allow God's voice and his plan to be rolled out for you. So very important. And he's calling you to that place. Yield and begin to flow in that. Begin to expect that. It's so very important that is the way you begin to live your life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your holy written word. Thank you, Lord, for grace deposits and truth impartation. Lord, thank you for your anointing. We yield now. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name forever. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's pray. Just begin to thank God. I'm obviously not going to get back into the text. Thank you, Lord. Just begin to pray. Just begin to pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. If you have a need and you're watching online, let us know what that need is. Thank you, Lord. The God knows what you have need of. The frustrations. He knows it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name forever. Peace. Somebody just needs peace. Someone's just been restless. You just need peace. If that's you, come up front. Come and receive. If you just need peace, if you've just been under pressure and stress and strain, that's not of God. Come and receive. Spirit of God wants to lift that off of you. The anointing is present and ready to remove that. If you need healing in your body, go ahead and come up front. Let's move. Prayer ministers, go ahead and move. We'll wrap the service up. And if you need healing in your body especially, I heard it loud and clear. If you need healing in your body, come and receive. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for health and healing. Thank you for divine. Thank you, Lord, for healing. If you are not up here, pray in the Spirit. Just pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord.
Wasn't that a powerful message? Isn't God good? You know, one thing I know for sure, the Word of God never returns void. It's always going to do what it's supposed to do. So here's your challenge. Apply the Word of God that you heard today. If this message has been a blessing to you in any way, I'm encouraging you to consider sowing a seed. You know, here at Word Life, we're seeing lives transform. We're seeing people saved, healed, delivered. And that happens through partnerships. So we welcome your partnership. If you feel led to come and be a part of what God is doing here. If you have any prayer requests, let us know. We would love the opportunity. I'm going to pray for everybody here in a second. But if you have anything specific, let us know. We would love the opportunity to partner with you in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each and every viewer. Father, I add my faith to their faith right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak blessings over their lives, over their children, over their households. I boldly declare that they are above only and not beneath. They are the head and not the tail, and they walk in victory in Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next time. Thank you.